Bless you. Open your Bible, please, and look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Find your place in the Word of God. We'll read in just a moment. And then I want to bring a brief message this morning that I believe the Lord would have me to. And I want you to really pray God will have His way and the Lord's will be done in the service this morning. Let's stand again, if you would, please. Again, thank you, church, for everything. Thank you, Brother Hall, for the privilege of me coming. Thank you for putting up with us for these 11 years. And thank you for all that God's done in doing. And you pray for the Lord's will to be done. I hope you'll really settle in on your matter of giving and let God speak to you. I'm not going to deal much with that at all in this 11 o'clock hour. But I'm going to deal with something else. I feel like the Lord wants me to. And I want you to pray. I'm sure I preached a whole message on what I'm going to deal a few minutes with here some time ago in my early years. But I want to read from verse number 1. The Bible said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, having in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Verse 3, the Bible said, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. This they did not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Turn the page to chapter number 10, and I want to read just the first phrase in verse number 16. The Bible said to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message for this time from God's eternal word. Our precious Heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before you to pray. Lord, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation. Thank you again, dear Lord, you let me be born in America. You let me hear the gospel. Save me by your grace. Call me to preach. Put me in the ministry. You have kept me there, dear Lord, all of these years. And Father, from my heart, I say today, all that I am, or ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. Dear Lord, thank you for the privilege of being in this church these days with these precious people. Thank you, dear Lord, for the friendship and fellowship that bond us together with the Island Ford Baptist Church, Pastor Hall and his family, and the families that make up the church. Father, I do pray now as the people are waiting for that final moment of making their commitment of giving to missions, I pray, dear Lord, that you will give definite leadership to each individual. And I pray that give each of us grace to be obedient to what you want us to do. Now, Lord, help me as I preach this morning these moments. May your will be done, Father. And for all that you do, I'll give you praise, honor, and glory. Because I pray it, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. For our sake, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, this morning by the study of the Word of God. I want you to look at verse number 3 in chapter number 8. The Bible said in chapter 3, verse number 8, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." And then in chapter number 10, verse number 21, the Bible said to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on this subject, God taking us beyond ourselves. God enabling us to do what we cannot do. This is very real in my heart as I tell it. It's not just a story that I might have thought up. When I was sitting at the Roanoke Baptist Church in Liberty, South Carolina, where Pastor Jack Shook is pastor, on a Sunday morning just before I was to get up and preach in the 11 o'clock service, we had finished the faith promise in the 10 o'clock hour, and in my heart I started just crying out, "Lord, give me something." I had an outline, had a message I thought I'd preach, but God just, I began to cry. And God let this word beyond jump out. And I saw some things I'd never seen before. And that was the first Sunday, by the way, in November 1999. And hang on to that date. I'll deal with it again in just a moment. I got up for the hall and preached the message with just the thoughts. I didn't have no outlining. I just preached it. And by the way, I still preach it when I preach it in detail and fullness, just about like I did that first Sunday morning. But I preached that message for 3 years. I'm not, you know, just pretty regular like I am out on the road. Brother Joel, every time I preached it, I felt like I was preaching to myself. I got to wondering, as approaching 60 years old, is God going to call me to the mission field at this time in my life? What's God going to do? Well, on this day, 9 years ago, as we were closing out this meeting, God used your pastor to birth the reality in my heart of the Harvest Time broadcast. And I went on the air on the first Monday in November, 3 years later, with the Harvest Time broadcast. And now then, 9 years history. And can I just say it, to God be the glory. Look what God's done, went and done. Can I make a statement? I do not mean to sound wrong at all. I'm not claiming anything to myself, but to God be the glory. I have about as large of an old-fashioned King James Bible, Hellfire and Damnation preaching broadcast as there is in America. I'm not boasting on that. I'm not making myself up. I'm just facing reality. If you can name one bigger, go ahead. It will not bother me. I'm sure they're out there. But I do not know them. There's a lot of the big ecumenicalism and the neo-evangelicals got them. But as far as old-fashioned King James Bible preaching broadcast, God has brought it where it's at today. And I make this statement without hesitation. That alone is beyond me. I am, I'm about to have a shouting spell, and it's not even shouting time, but I am where I am and what I am because I realize that there's a God that's bigger than me and can cause me and enable me to do what I cannot do. You see, the burden of my soul is we limit God by trying to box Him in to our own fleshly abilities. You need to hear that. If all you ever do is all you can do, you won't ever do much. If all you ever give is all you can give, you won't ever give much. Hallelujah. But there's a God in heaven that can do what we can't do. There's a God in heaven that can reach down in the depths of sin and pull an old sinner out and save him by the grace of God, put his feet on a solid rock and establish his going and put a song in his heart, even praise unto our God. There's a God in heaven that can do through you what you don't think you can do. Matter of fact now, listen carefully, I know what I'm saying. I heard all my life, God never expected anything out of us we couldn't do. That sounds real good, but it's not true. Basically, the will of God for your life will be something you cannot do in yourself. If you can do it, you don't need God. If you can do it, you get the glory out of it. But God specializes in taking nobodies, making something out of them, and doing what they cannot do, and then God gets the glory out of it. God specializes in taking us beyond ourselves. May I make this statement from the Word of God? We have no King James Bible right at all to use the expression in the service of God, I can't. Because the Bible said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. We have, and I don't think I'm getting across, but we've allowed ourselves to barricade ourselves in with what I think I can do. I have a young man over, he's not young anymore, he's in his 50s. I said, well, maybe in close to 60, but they owned a radio station over in North Carolina. And Brother Hall, as far as I understand, he probably was the first preacher that connected a radio station to the internet. Years ago, that big old machine they had down there was that big. That big old computer, you know, I mean, that thing is big, that pulpit there, or bigger. But I made a statement about him years ago. He never ran upon anything that he didn't think he and God could do. That's just the way he operates. That's the way he operates. If God puts it in his heart, it's God's will. He believes him and God and him can get it done. I'm telling you, we are limiting God by our trusting in our abilities instead of our trusting in God's ability. I use this illustration. I suppose I've used it here before, I'm sure. Brother Hall, first of all, if we're saved, that's beyond us. Amen? God took you beyond yourself when he saved you. You couldn't get right. If you did, you couldn't stay right. But God reached down and dug us out of miry clay and set our feet on a solid rock and saved us and established our going. And could I say it? Made saints out of sinners. Can I tell you something else? You couldn't live right after you got saved. If it were left up to you. Several years ago, I was preaching here in Atlanta in a meeting, and the pastor and I was probably on our way to lunch. Anyway, we were out in the car driving back somewhere, you know, and there was a prominent preacher, I don't recall who it was, but some fellow that we knew that we respected that had just fallen a few weeks ago, and his name came up in the conversation. And I said to him, what a shocker. What a heartbreak. What a surprise. He looked at me and he said, preacher, you know what's bigger surprise than him falling? I know what to expect. I said, what? He said that me and you've not. Amen. Can I say to you, there's nothing in and about Stinnett Blue this morning that can stand up here and boast about I am what I am because of the ability of Stinnett Blue. I am because I am what I am because I got a bunch of I don'ts, I don'ts, I don'ts, I don'ts, and a bunch of I don'ts. No. I stand here preaching all these years, being saved 60 years ago, 2 weeks ago. I'm being saved these years, and I stand here, hallelujah. My name is still written in glory. My feet still on the rock. My mind still made up. I'm still serving God. Not because of anything I've done, but Him who taken me beyond myself. I'm going to give you two or three Bible illustrations very briefly and I'll be through. I love the story of Hannah. I don't think I shall ever forget the night I preached on Hannah. The night she was dancing around in that back pew back there. You ladies, all every lady in here, if I think, Brother Harden kicked off their shoes and made a lap around out through the rest of you back through here. More than one. There's a story behind it I don't have time to tell. If you were here then, how many of you were here that night? You remember that night? Great number of you. I'm a candidate for God to do it again. Amen. But the story of Hannah's life until she conceived Samuel was, I wish I could. But it's beyond me. Now, if you know your Bible, you know immediately what I'm talking about. She wanted to have a baby. I'm not being disrespectful. They tried and tried and tried for a baby. But having a baby was beyond Hannah. But one day, like a cocoon weaves itself into, like a worm weaves itself into a cocoon and shuts itself up from God, and God changes that cocoon. One day Hannah gets with God in prayer and fasting, and God touched Hannah. And for the first time in her life, Hannah knew what it was to enjoy morning sickness. I always like to do this. Can you imagine? Let's bring Hannah to Highland Ford Baptist Church and let her join the church here. You know how it is around here, like it is down where I am a member at. Just ever, seem like every few weeks, Brother Hall, every few months, somebody, pastor gets up or one of our men gets up, opens up a little card and says something like this. Ladies, don't forget now, next Saturday in the fellowship hall, 7 o'clock, baby shower for sister. Hannah smiles outwardly, but she weeps inwardly. Will it ever happen to me? I wish I could. She goes down, does her shopping, buys a little gift, wishing she could, but realizing it was beyond her. She brings a baby gift into the shower. And ladies, I've never been to the baby shower, so I don't know what all you do, but I understand. You bring them in, lay the gifts on the table, and you greet the people in fellowship. And then that special, the games are done, and those things are done. And then the mama sits down, starts opening up, and holds up the little garments, and all the ladies join in the oohs and the ahs and the wows. And then Hannah's doing the same thing. Outwardly, but inwardly, she's crying. I wish I could, but it's beyond me. When she got alone with God, God touched her. And now then, Brother Hall gets up here and opens up a card and says, ladies, don't forget now next Saturday back in the fellowship hall, baby shower for Sister Hannah. Is it really me? I'm telling you, you can say what you want to about the statement I'm about to make, but I am living, Brother Hall, in dream world. I am living out in my old days what I dreamed as a young man God would do. I didn't see how I could do it, Brother Hart, and I never dreamed he would do it, but I sure dreamed I wanted him to. I watched those older preachers, and by the way, there was a generation of preachers older than I am. I watched that older generation of preachers when I was a young man. I thought, boy, it'd be something to preach every week. It'd be something to have people wanting you to come and preach. It'd be something to preach and see God do things. I'm telling you, I am living out my dreams in my latter years of my younger years. I'm telling you, I'm not saying I'm anything. I am what I am by the grace of God. But I'm saying to you, God took me out of nowhere. I'm number 8 of 12 children. When they printed my high school annual, they wrote that thing on there, that prophecy thing. They said, I want to be a car salesman, probably will be a taxi cab driver. Their hopes for me wasn't much. But one day, I brought my inability to God. Peter said to Hannah, what happened? I thought having a baby was beyond you. And she said it was. But God took me beyond myself. Not just once, but twice, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times.
Amen.
Can you imagine Hannah? I know she's got young Samuel, child number one. He's up at the temple. But can you imagine her walking to that temple every year with 5 more little ones stringing on behind her? Would you let my mind really explode for a minute? Can you imagine them youngins growing up, getting married, and them grandkids coming along, and now then the 5 becomes 10, then the 10 becomes 15, the 15 becomes 20? Hannah, what happened? God took me beyond myself. Let me give you another one real quickly. One of my favorite messages of all the messages God ever given me is that little lad who had a little lunch, met a great big Lord, had a whole lot of leftovers. I don't know if it's because I like fishing hush puppies so much, but I just love that story. I love to preach from it. Can you imagine if one of the disciples had walked down to one of them little boys, that little boy, a couple of hours early and said to him, said, I want to tell you, son, you better get ready. You've got to feed this crowd supper.
Me? You know this? Learn me!
But he did. You know what happened? He brought his inability to the God of ability. And Brother Hollis, it's like God takes a spiritual bulldozer and just uproots everything that's in the way. Moves it over, opens up beyond himself. And by the way, just to rub this in the devil's face, the devil will tell you if you give it up, you lose it. I want to tell you that boy gave all he had and got back 12 times more than he had. How do you do that? Beyond me. God can do it. I close with this. We'll not turn up. Do you remember the young man by the name of Jabez? Unwanted, unloved. His mother bore him with sorrow. But one day he got sick and tired of being a nobody. Oh, God, do that to somebody today. That's what our problem is, preacher. We're satisfied doing nothing. Average church member. But oh, that God had caused somebody to get sick and tired. I'm not talking about just a fleshly desire to be up front, a fleshly desire to dress up like the preacher, a fleshly desire. No, no, I'm talking about a burning desire to do something for the God that's done so much for you.
Amen.
The Bible said he prayed to the Lord God of Israel. He said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. You have me upon me. You keep me from evil, but it grieved me not." And God granted him everything he asked for. The only one I want to deal with is that enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. Now I want to make a statement. Please hear me. If you're not doing what you can where you are with what you got, don't expect God to enlarge your coast. Just like God's not going to send a missionary to China or to Africa or anywhere else in the world that's not involved doing something here at home. One of the great writers of olden times said, "Why send a lamp to Africa if it won't burn in America?"
Amen.
But when we do what God enables us to do with what He's blessed us with, Jabez said, "I want you to enlarge my coast." Now, I'm going to use a term that can be looked upon as wrong, and I don't mean it to be wrong tonight, today at all. Jabez said, "Lord, I want to be a better Christian and a bigger Christian. Enlarge my coast." When I preach this, I preach it across the country. I say to a pastor, I say to a preacher, if God wants you to preach to 15 people all your life, do your best and be faithful. But if God will give you 25, don't stop with 15. Amen. If God wants you to have 40, then don't stop at 20. But if God wants you to stay at 20, be faithful. I'm not minimizing. There's nothing little if God's in it. But I'm simply saying to you, God needs some people that will realize there's so much work to be done. Somebody's got to get beyond our little limitations. So Jabez said, "Break the barriers, burst open the box, remove the hedges, move the gateposts, move the fence line, enlarge my coast."
Amen.
And God said, granted.
Amen.
I'll do it. I believe I can show you in our King James Bible where God let Jabez start a school that's named in the called the Schools of the Prophets. And it is the sons of the prophet. And that school specializes in training scribes. Now I'm convinced, Brother Hall, when we get the judgment seat of Christ, we may find out that we got part of that Bible right there because Jabez trained some men that penned down the words of the prophets. How would you like to have a... And I know it's just carnal thinking, but how would you like to start a school? How would you like to train workers? How would you like to see God bless your efforts that would make an eternal effect? Can Can I give you, I'm hesitant to even do this, can I give you an other side of a commonly story in the Bible just a moment? I was studying the book of Ruth one day, and I was looking at all those things about Naomi, and the Holy Spirit kind of rebuked me and said, this is not the book of Naomi, it's the book of Ruth. And the theme of those first chapters is God in grace going after Ruth. There's a family he used. God uses families. There's the famine he used. God even uses famines. He uses some famines to prove his power, some famines to punish people, some famines to replace people. Elimelech and Naomi would have never gone to Moab if it hadn't been a famine. And we talk about how they got out of the will. You cannot find in your Bible where they ever got out of God's will. God was not dealing with them. He saw a Gentile woman down there that he wanted to go after.
Amen. Watch it now. I'm telling you.
They went down there and served on the field. Brother Harden, forgive my illustration. They went down there and served on the field 10 years. She buried her husband, buried two sons. Come back home, bitter, defeated. She said, I went out full. God brought me back home empty. Don't that sound just like a discouraged, defeated missionary? Don't call me Mr. Happy, Naomi, pleasant. Call me Myra. I'm bitter. That's chapter one. Naomi, how'd you do on the mission field? She said, I've had one convert.
10 years.
That's chapter one. 10 years, one convert. But I tell you, if you jump over chapter number four, and she's got that little baby Obed, things are not looking near as bad now. And if she could look down at grandson, and then great-grandson, I believe I'm right, would be David, or maybe three generations. And she could have lived and seen what her David did, her great-grandson David did, who was the fruit of that one little convert that she brought out of Moab. Fruit of God dealing so bitterly with her. But if she could jump forward then a number of generations to Bethlehem again, and she could see another baby laying in a manger.
Amen. Amen.
Naomi, you must have missed it. She married into that lineage.
Right.
She got her name in the lineage of Christ. She's the great, 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 great grandmama, on down many times, generations later, of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They almost said, Ruth, you need to go back. And Ruth said, I believe there's something out there bigger than I am. And I'm just going to go with God. Now look at me, and I'm through. I wish I could say this better, but I can't. So I'm going to do the best I can. There is absolutely no telling what God is doing right now in your own life. Naomi didn't see it. Nobody else could explain it to her. But I'm glad God's doing it when we don't see it. But we be faithful. We be followers, faithful followers. And we do what God wants us to do. We never get satisfied with what we accomplish, and we reach for higher grounds, greater things. And I'm telling you, one day God will let you embrace your Boaz. God will let you start your Bible college. God will let you feed a multitude. Forgive me, ladies, but God will let you have your spiritual babies. And the world looked at you and I, who thought nothing good could ever come out of us, in amazement. How you doing, preacher? It's beyond me! But I like living beyond me. And I like giving beyond me.